Welcome to the Tavern of the Takeout Warriors podcast. I'm Roy Gim, a.k.a. the old tavern owner. It's been a long time since I've joined all the tavern writers and joining and talking about our favorite subject, Korean soccer and Korean football. So let's go to our other tavern writers who've been more consistently been on this podcast and have been, you know, carrying the tavern as of late. First, from Tavern Studio Quebec, we have Tim Lee. Tim, how's it going?
Very good. Very good. Thank you very much.
Excellent. And real quick, what's your favorite means of being able to watch the Olympics in Canada? Is it CBC or NBC down in the United States?
Actually, neither, because CBC is only showing Canadians, right? And so they're showing sports like rowing, in which I have no interest. So I'm actually just kind of following them along with VPNs and stuff like that.
Nice. All right, and let's go to Tavern Studio. Is it Connecticut? No, where are we? New Haven.
New Haven. Here we are in New Haven. Hi, everyone. It's Jinsuk.
Jinsuk Yang, yeah. So how's you're transitioning, but the future's looking bright, I gather?
Yeah, I'm going into my senior year. It's a lot of stuff going on in my life right now.
But the most important, of course, is
Korean football.
Korea advancing into the the quarterfinals.
Nothing takes priority over that.
Very good. Let me hand everything over to Tim, but obviously we're all gathering in lieu of on the eve of Korea going into the quarterfinals. Actually, in stride, they for the first time ever, they've topped an Olympic group. And 7 points. We've topped the group over Germany, and Korea knocked out Mexico. It's quite unbelievable. But before I, I'm still trying to gather my thoughts. I'm elated. I'm also concerned. But it's unbelievable. Let's hand things over to Tim Lee.
All right. So first, we're going to talk about briefly the. The Mexico match, the final group game, which Korea won 1-0 thanks to a fantastic solo goal by Kwon Chang-un. So just go to the starting lineups, actually, and I'm just wondering what the immediate reactions were for both of you when you saw how Korea was going to line up in this pivotal group game against Mexico. Jinsuk.
Let me say, I was not that happy with the Park Kyung-woo, Lee Chang-min pairing in midfield. That is just asking to get completely run over. Which is exactly what we saw. I thought we might see some variation in fullback. I thought we would see Shim Sang-min, Jung Seung-hyun, Chang Yun-su, exactly what we saw. I was personally hoping Shim Sang-min would have gotten subbed off and Chang Yun-su would take his place. Turns out Choi Kyu-baek was not ready. Other than that, the only other concern was Hwang Hee-chan playing 3 games in a row.
Right.
For 20-year-olds, it's a little bit difficult.
Yeah, and we're talking about, you know, to carry off of what Jinsuk said. I mean, the Olympics is so compressed. 2-3 days rest is just not enough. But you know, it's an insane schedule. And you know, the Olympics, it's just. I think that's partly why FIFA and everybody else don't really take the Olympics as seriously as they could. You know, 18-man roster. You know. What is that about? You know,
right.
It makes no sense. But nevertheless, there's a tournament to be played. There's, you know, Olympic gold still on the line and all the other medals. And Korea, when I saw the lineup, I was surprised that it was sort of – it's not my ideal starting 11. But when I wrote the preview a few hours before the match, I sort of speculated this is what he's going to line up.
It was exactly the same starting 11.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same.
It was exactly the same with Seok Hyun-jin / Hwang Hee-chan. Yeah,
right. It was sub one of the two, you know, up top. I think what concerned me about the 4-2-3-1 is that not only is it a little too predictable, I just don't see Hwang Hee-chan as good as he is as you know an up top forward. You know, he's good like cutting in on from the left.
Right, he's a false nine kind of player.
Yeah,
but I think he's exactly what the team needs. Yeah,
Sure, sure. That is like, why couldn't we see maybe a 4-3-3 or even, you know, what was speculated, the five at the back? I mean, that would have been interesting, I thought. But, you know, it didn't pan out that way in terms of the starting 11. I thought, well, we'll see how it goes. And it turned out a lot worse than I thought.
Yeah. In practice, it was pretty much a 5-back or a 9-back or a 10-back, depending on the point of view.
Yeah, right. As it turned out, right, you know, all those people tracking back and having to play D. I was spectacularly, I don't know if Korea had gotten unnerved when they started not passing well. And then it just became this chain effect, you know.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's all about mentality in that kind of situation. When the initial exchanges don't go well, when you're getting overrun, it's hard to... In Korean, we say 흐름, which is like flow, right? The flow shifted pretty quickly to Mexico, and then it's pretty hard to get it back.
Yeah.
And the really worrying thing is we really need to play a passing game against Honduras. But more on that later.
Sure. Yeah. But sorry, Tim, to
no problem.
This might be a random thought, and maybe this is a topic you're going to get to a little bit later, but in sequence. But I know everybody had was very concerned about Shim Sang-min, and I think it just comes down to Shin Tae-young doesn't have any other option, you know, because of the 18-man roster. And so I don't know if there was any other, and this is sort of the question, is what could there have been another option?
Yes, there could have. Now, it remains to be seen if that option would have been better than Shim Sang-min, but then again, it's hard to see a player who'd be playing worse than Shim Sang-min right now. I think what Shin Tae-young saw in Shim was a player who could almost mirror Lee Seul-chan, in the sense that they're both generally good at moving forward up the pitch, and they're more attack-minded fullbacks.
Sure.
But Jin Suk and I really wanted there to be a backup left back, because we know that of the four positions Chang Hyun-soo can play, that's his least confident one. And so Chang Hyun-soo could cover for Lee Seul-chan if he was playing poorly at right back, but there was no one to cover Shim Sang-min on left back. So I want to see Seo Young-jae, whether or not he deserved it, just as cover. Instead, Shin Tae-young chose a right back, Park Dong-jin, as the 18th man, if you will. Mm. And that's leaving Shin into a weird position where he's playing poorly, and I'm sure he knows he's playing poorly. Yeah. Everyone can see he's playing poorly.
Yeah.
But there's almost no chance of him being dropped because of the 18-man roster. But Shin Tae-young does deserve some blame for it, because he had the option to recognize this and cover for all his players adequately in case one of them had shocking performances. And he didn't do that, and the team's paying the price, quite honestly.
Yeah. But, I mean, at the same time, it's like, is there still in the narrative of things, as unbelievable as this might sound, could there be redemption for him as we go into the knockout rounds?
Well, you never know. Lee Yong-jae and the 2014 Asian Games, the striker, everyone hated him. Everyone despised him. And he sort of kind of scored the winning goal. We don't know if it was him or Im Chang-woo. We don't know who the ref would have given it to, but eventually I think it went to Im Chang-woo. Nonetheless, he pretty much scored the winning goal. So if Shim Sang-min does something spectacular, then all will be forgiven. But just on form, the last three games, he's been the worst player of the team by a country mile.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, he's been playing pretty poorly in the run-up to the Olympics as well.
Mm.
You would think that would have caused some alarm bells and
red flags. Flags. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. That's, I mean, and obviously this sour note that we're on, it is reflected in that very atrocious first half. I mean, and that's not the only part of the story, though.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the first half, because since I touched on it well, the flow was completely with Mexico, and I'm quite surprised the team didn't seem to be almost expecting it.
Yeah.
There was some speculation that maybe Shin Tae-young was just setting up his team to play for a draw. Do any of you guys buy that? Was that what the team was? Is that why the team was so toothless in the first half?
Takeuchi posted on Twitter saying the team is definitely playing for a draw. For me, it's very hard to tell because I think even if we were really going for the win, there's no way of us knowing because Mexico dominated so hard.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with Jinsuk on that one. It's hard to say because whatever few counterattacks that we're trying to launch was just abysmal in execution. So we'll never know.
But I almost can't blame them on the front four. It wasn't at all their fault. The team began to look much, much better as soon as one of Son, Ryu, Kwon, to a lesser extent, or Hwang Hee-chan had the ball. We know that's our forte up the pitch. When we're in control, we've got the flowing attack going. That's our forte. But the fullbacks weren't there. Sometimes ones were having terrible passes. And more importantly, the midfield core wasn't there. You need a midfield core to lead on.
That's the big problem. That was the biggest problem.
And the idea, I think, for Shin Se-young shifting from the Germany game to the Mexico game, the Germany game where he played more defensive, Park Hyung-woo, Chang Hyun-soo, Mexico game, he wanted the passer. He wanted a player who's perhaps more mobile and contributes more going forwards than in the Germany game, and that's why he included Lee Chang-min. But it was unbelievably horrific decision by him in the end because Lee Chang-min was... we talked about black
hole. Worst player.
Second worst player, yes, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make the first half a little bit more even than it was and less shambolic than it turned out to be.
And the confidence wavering was contagious. It's a sort of... I couldn't help but sense that there was some sort of despair with the team at that moment, and they were just trying to defend for their lives. The few times that they had the balls, they panicked. Mexico felt that, and so Korea, anybody had the ball that was trying to then launch some sort of haphazard counterattack. It was like there wasn't even an effort to feint and get around a Mexican player who was just trying to get right in front of a Korean player. All they had to do was get right in front and then just knock the ball, and divert the ball away. And that was symptomatic of some kind of panic.
Yeah. I'm also wondering if it speaks more to the fact that Germany was terrible at passing and Mexico wasn't.
Mexico is generally better in the midfield passing triangle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we would have had that same first half initially against Germany. If the Bender twins didn't suck so much in the field.
I mean, play the Bender twins is objectively not a good idea. It's like playing two Chang Hyun-soos, as one person put it on TikTok here.
But it wasn't all doom and gloom in the end. There were actually a couple decent individual performances which really carried the team and has carried the team through to the knockout stages in first place. So who stood out for you positively?
Well, definitely the center backs, it's been said, really came through when Juju out of the way and start, doing what they knew they could do because they did it against Germany, And I think that, one, putting Jang Hyun-soo, drawing him back was definitely, not only it was a practical move because of the injury to...
Took it back.
Yes. He was able to was a solid center back in this particular match, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Right. Jin-suk?
Yeah. I think it's undeniable the real standouts of this match were the center backs. I think the attacking four did what they had to do given how little service they had.
Right.
But definitely. Some people are even going to the lengths of saying Jung Sun-hyun is going to get scouted by European scouts. I would love to see that. The last time a Korean player moved to Europe was Hong Jung-hwan. That was a long time ago. It was 2015 or something.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, but he was pretty... A lot of people gave him a lot of props.
Definitely. I think he stood out more than Chang Hyun-soo did, actually. He was very good. I think he won almost all his headers.
Yeah.
He had a couple last-ditch tackles. It was great.
Yeah. And that's why he was better than Chang Hyun-soo in a sense.
Right.
Because Chang kind of stood a little bit... In the second half, he recovered. In the first half, he could have put a little bit more effort, caught ball watching a couple times.
Right.
Chang Sun-hyun was at the cover and made that one great last-ditch tackle that made me go, whoa, this guy's actually...
Exactly.
a really good beginning to this game, and it held out. He was really good. The center backs had a really good performance, and I'm very pleasantly surprised.
And that's the thing with the narrative then. They kept them in the game, and it was almost like I'm using the boxing motif, the rope-a-dope, which Muhammad Ali used famously in the Rumble in the Jungle. You know, suddenly, you know, later in the game, Korea's mojo came back. And you really sense that this was true. There was several opportunities that started to emerge after the 70th minute. And it was like, Korea's on the verge of being able to, like, get one here. And with Mexico knowing that they couldn't settle for a draw at this point, because Germany at that point, after the half, had more than six goals, right?
Right.
Against Fiji. They couldn't settle for the draw. Korea knew that as well. And so that advantage mentally was able to help them. And then, of course, I think first it started with Hwang being able to get loose and be able to cause havoc. Sun's drive, which unfortunately, you know, right before Kwang Chang-hoon's amazing, amazing solo strike, you saw Sun Heung-min get loose because of Hwang. He released Sun. And there was something about, I don't know, he was trying to do a move and it the ball just bounced back behind him. But, you know, still.
I was so mad.
Yeah, I was really mad.
But, you know, it was like stepping in the right direction still.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, all right, shake it off. Let's go again.
Right.
And sure enough, wait, Sun took the...
corner. He took the corner.
He took the corner, right.
The corner went to Seok-Hyun-jun, who I'm not sure if it hit him or his marker, but nonetheless, the ball
I think it hit the marker.
Okay. And yeah. it went out of the box. So it went to Kwon Chang-yun, who was sitting on top of the box, and then that incredible moment of magic that nobody saw coming. I was like, what are you doing? Pass the ball.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and
Hwang knew what he was doing too.
Exactly, yeah, very well.
The screen.
The screen was beautiful. The 14 couldn't. He knew he was trying to. He had to get to Kwan. He found that perfect space, and it caught all the Mexican defenders. Actually, I think for a second they were like deer in the headlights at that moment.
They were shell shocked because none of them really tried to put in a complete tackle, and he actually split two defenders.
Yeah,
at the same time, because they both put in the half tackle kind of. Do you have it? Do I have it? And Kwan just burst through. But I thought the play was doomed when he took that heavy touch into the box.
Yeah.
So I was sure there was somebody who's going to come out and clear it up. But
yeah.
It didn't happen in the replay. Hwang In-chan didn't get an assist on this goal, but he definitely should.
Do you think it was a heavy touch or was that deliberate? I thought it was like he was trying to find that space between the two, and
It almost. I don't know what it was. I'm not sure if it was a heavy touch or like a really bad pass or.
Generally, a not heavy touch is better than a heavy touch because multiple not heavy touches equals one heavy touch. But if he sees a pocket of space, like it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah. The pocket of space, I think, was. I mean, I could be wrong, but it seemed like that was deliberate to be able to shoot right in there, and exploit that space. That was a thing. It's like I think with Mexico having the advantage for throughout the game and seeing some non-confident Korean passing, that's what caught them off guard. They don't know Korean, you know, football players very well, and they don't know that some of these guys do have some like standout skills like Kwan, you know, and it just sort of like at the right moment at the right time, he was able to, you know, put in that brilliance and thank goodness, you know?
Yeah. Kwan was having a really bad game in the sense that he was incredibly.
He touched the ball like twice, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. That's the weird thing about it. You know, I think everybody that knows Kwan knows that he still has that, quality about him, and it came through at moments during Fiji. Actually, his first goal actually broke the floodgates open, the Fiji match, and this to him too. It was like the most brilliant dribbling and just clinical finish. That was the most perfect strike you can you can ask for at that moment of time.
If Korea had not won this match and we'd be talking about a group stage exit right now, Kwon Chang would have gotten a lot of slack, a lot of blame, rather, because...
Yeah, the team would have gone under a lot of criticism. Maybe some yacht throwing.
But players like Kwon Chang, who was scouted actively, we know for a fact, at the AFC 23 Championship, that move might have just saved that move. You know,
a little further. Yeah, that's right.
Who knows where we go from here? But that goal put Kwon Chang-un's name in lights. That's what he's capable of spontaneously.
Yeah.
Even when he's having a subpar game, he's got a moment of brilliance.
And quickly, just a quick aside. That's absolutely right. I mean, a draw or a win, you know, would have done it for Korea. But you know, the win's
big. Yeah.
Was an exclamation point that let them top the group.
Yeah.
Above Germany. Germany now plays Portugal.
And we play Honduras.
That's the remarkable thing about that, too. I mean, it's like a double, triple whammy. That's just...
All right,
Perfect transition. So after the break, we'll talk about the Honduras match, the quarterfinal, and see if we can progress once again to another Olympic semifinal. And we're back and listening to the Tavern of Pink Warriors special Olympics podcast. And now we're previewing our quarterfinal match against Honduras. Korea managed to get this draw by virtue of winning their group instead of finishing second place. And when we saw the draw, we saw that our opponents would be Honduras. I think all Korean fans collectively went, yes, Honduras. But there's no doubting that all Honduran fans went, yes, South Korea. So we're both very happy to play each other. So it will make for an interesting encounter. And just like Honduras and South Korea have actually already played each other this generation quite recently.
Yes. This was back in June. We played, this was during the same time we played Nigeria and one other team that I don't remember. So we lined up in a completely experimental formation. We played a flat 4-4-2. Seoyoung-jae, Song-ju-hoon, Hong-jun-oh from Gwangju, Park Dong-jin. That was the four back. The four midfielders are Park Jung-bin, Kim Min-tae, Lee Chan-dong, and Choi Kyung-ro. And the two strikers were, please do not refrain from laughing, Park In-hyuk and Kim Hyun. This lineup somehow managed to draw 2-2. We conceded really early to Lozano, of all people. And this was generally just really, 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 really bad game. This exposed all of Song Jun's weaknesses. This particularly exposed Lee Chan-dong with all his limitations. And this game, I guess, really was the nail in the coffin for Kim Hyun, as if Seok Hyun-jin wasn't enough already. So what we got out of this game was that, number one, a couple of these players shouldn't be playing for the team. Aside from that, we found that Honduras is a very physical, they foul a lot.
Right.
They're a force kind of team. And the thing is, we have to pass around them. And I think this is another example of where technique can beat physicality. That being said, if you want to get that passing down, I would have recommended a 4-1-4-1 with Lee Chang-min and Kwon Chang-un in the center, with Park Jung-woo in the center, or maybe Chang Hyun-soo, or maybe Lee Chan-dong. Because I feel like a player like Lee Chan-dong might be needed to counter the physicality of the Honduran players. That being said, Lee Chang-min is not in form. And Hwang Hee-chan has to be rested.
Right. Going back to your fouls that I actually counted... Honduras made 54 fouls in three games, which I believe is a lot.
That's a lot.
So the 54 fouls in three games, they picked up, I think, four or five yellow cards. Then one of the players was suspended, actually, because of that, but he comes back. But two of their players are still carrying yellow cards as well. So they are a very physical team.
Looking back at the record, here's what's interesting. In Olympic qualifying, Honduras actually lost 2-0 to Mexico. And they also lost, they lost to them twice.
But they beat the U.S. So.
And they beat the U.S. Honduras beat the U.S., which...
U.S. didn't qualify.
No,
I mean, that's not surprising either, unfortunately. It's just not surprising, unfortunately. But, you know, that's another story for another time.
And the interesting thing is, one more thing.
Yes,
they played us in a 3-4-3.
That's right.
Which would they have they been using that throughout the tournament?
I just from the highlight videos I've seen, yes, they're sticking to the 3-4-3, 5-4-1 kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which happens to be the preferred formation of the Honduran senior team as well. And the connection here is that they're both managed by the same guy, Jorge Luis Pinto, the manager who famously led Costa Rica to the quarterfinals of the 2014 World Cup against all the odds.
Interesting.
So this is actually a system that Honduras knows very well because Pinto likes to make his teams difficult to break down. And it's also reflected by their possession stats where I think their average possession has been 44%, which means they're definitely not a team who's going to keep the ball and move up the pitch and dictate play. They're a counter-attacking team with fast, speedy wingers and lots of physicality.
Oh, that makes you really nervous.
They're star player, according to ESPN. Who,
Ellis?
Yes, who, granted, ESPN said Korea wouldn't advance and Honduras neither, but nonetheless, is Ellis, that's right, the right winger. Who is very quick.
He's a right winger. No.
He has got
a goal. Why did it have to be the right side?
All hope is not lost. All hope is not lost. I mean,
here's the thing. Honduras, the coach, Jorge Luis Pinto, has been saying in the media that he knows Korea very well. And by that...
it's probably just because we played them in the...
I feel like he's just very aware of Kim Sang-min. So...
Huh.
Yeah, they're going to – I think Honduras is going to be very hard. The best way we can beat Honduras, of course, is if we can really take control in the center and if the forwards are clinical enough and take the chances.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Go ahead.
A couple more notes on Honduras. Pinto knows his starting 11 very well, almost too well, because I think 9 players – have started all 3 games, and the only changes that he made in his starting 11 was because of suspension. We could pretty much name the lineup now, and it's almost guaranteed that they'd all start against South Korea. That's how predictable this team is, and it's not as opposed to Shinsei, who likes to keep his cards close to his chest and not really reveal what he's going to do. Well, Honduras, there's no doubting what they're going to do because their lineup is simple, their formation. Is unique. They stick to the formation, and they've played it so many times, and we know how they're going to play. And the question is, it's Shin Tae-yong's move, and how are we going to counter them?
Yeah,
yeah.
You're making it sound like this. Whether we win or lose this match is almost entirely up to Shin Tae-yong and his decision making.
Well, it does come down to the players on the pitch as well.
Shin Tae-yong's
decision
I mean.
Is going to be. It's going to be crucial, especially in midfield. And this is my question, in midfield, what do we do? Or not just in midfield, but across the pitch, what do we do? Do we try to play a more nimble game and start Pang Yi-chan again, who doesn't seem to be affected by fatigue? He doesn't know what it is. And in midfield, do we try a player like Moon Chang-jin or Lee Chang-min again, despite getting bullied around? Or do we try to counter Honduras' physicality with physicality by playing Lee Chang-dong and by playing Seok Hyun-jin up top? There's a lot of decisions for Shin Tae-yong to make. He also commented that Honduras has improved since the last time he played them. So it would be foolish to think this is a victory in the bag because Honduras wants it just as much as we do, and they have every reason to believe that they can win this game as well.
Well, you know, that's the even match is sort of like what I'm sort of envisioning in that Honduras. So far in this group stage has been grinding out their results. It's a deliberate tactic and strategy. They're going to try to grind it with Korea. I think the challenge then is Shin Tae-yong has got to be able to to rotate as effectively as possible, to think long term. Honduras, I don't want to jinx, but this is on paper beatable as a team.
Yeah.
So then, you know.
If I can just add, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll get back to you after. But if I can just add, I don't know if I was making Honduras sound super scary, but it's important to know that they needed a lot of luck to progress as well. As Korea did in a certain respect. But against Algeria, two of their goals were because of the goalkeeper coming off his line too early on the corner kick and then dropping the ball in front of the striker, which is usually a bad idea.
Sounds like Jung.
And then against Argentina, it was a penalty kick that saw them go through, draw the match. Also, their weakness seems to be in their defense. Despite playing a back five, none of their defenders seem to have any discernible qualities in the air. And it's surprising because Pinto actually called up an overage player to play as a defender. He goes by the name of Palacios.
Wilson Palacios, yes. We know him very well.
Yes, of course.
Korea is very familiar with Wilson Palacios. He played with Celtic, I believe, alongside Ki-sung Young.
Right, yeah. Yes. But a lot of the goals I've seen go through against Honduras have been crosses or corner kicks or set pieces where the back three has just completely, almost FC Seoul style, forgotten who to mark despite having the superiority in numbers. So it makes me wonder, do we try to replicate that style, try to put crosses in the box to Sekhyunjin and try to beat them at their own physical game by exploiting a strange weakness for a physical team, which is a lack of aerial power in centre-back?
In that case, I think we probably need Sekhyunjin. I also wonder if we can play all three attackers.
I wonder if...
It's been on my radar, and the reason why I say that is because, well, I guess it's a little unfair because Ryu and Kwon didn't get to show anything against Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, can we go with Ryu Seung-woo on the wing, or do we want someone like Hwang-hee-cha on the wing, who might be more effective?
Has Hwang-hee-cha played on the wing for Shinseo?
No, but he drifts wide anyway.
He drifts wide anyway, right. And it almost like acts like a...
Yes, yes.
A wing at times. And sometimes he tries to play that forward, but hasn't been able to... Yeah, I mean, he's been most effective when he drifts wide.
Yeah. Interesting to note also, Honduras only called up two overage players. I'm not quite sure why, to be honest. And that's pretty much all I have on Honduras. So let's just talk about Korea more specifically. Any starting lineup predictions here?
I mean, we talked about Hwang probably needing a break and you know, coming in on the bench.
But I'm not...
Later?
It almost feels like Hwang-hee-cha is one of those players who just... He doesn't seem to get tired.
Yeah,
like, he made a great run in, like, the 80th minute of the game against...
That's
Mexico.
True. I was surprised.
Jesus, that guy is fast.
Yeah, and the thing is, he's constantly chasing the ball, too. Like, his stamina and physicality is exceptional for a Korean player.
You think he's up for it again, then? Starting.
Possible. I mean, we thought he wasn't up for it against Germany. He started against Germany. We thought he's definitely not playing against Mexico. He played against Mexico. I think Shin Seung might see him as a really valuable player to the side. Not to mention, we still don't really know if Sekhyunjin's really carrying an injury.
Yeah.
Stuff from the Iraq game.
Yeah.
It's similar to what Lee Kwang-jong did in the
Asian Cup. Yeah, with Kim Shin-ok, right?
Where Kim Shin-ok, he kept him super silent. We didn't know if he could play or not. And like,
he
said
he would.
And then he didn't. And then ultimately, he came on in the finals and distracted the North Korean keeper played too much attention to Wookiee that failed completely. And a combination of Lee Yong-jae and Lee Chun-young scored the goal. But anyways... So we don't really know what Seok's status is, despite him not carrying an additional injury, apparently, from the knock he sustained at the end of the Mexico game. So
we can only hope that he's, coming in from the bench, like that he is, recovering. Although he did take that nasty foul.
But apparently he's fine. So
That's also apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, so I think regardless of who starts, I wouldn't be too surprised All right, well, I would be fine with either. They're both so different players that it works.
Yeah, exactly. And Shin Tae-yong's not scared at all to put them up together as well. That's happened in all three matches. Where second gen
and I do wonder, because the last time we played Honduras, Shin Tae-yong played a 4-4-2.
Right. I'm wondering.
Would he be willing to do that again? I'm not quite sure.
The question is, against three center backs, do you feel comfortable only playing one striker constantly?
Exactly. Because with a 4-4-2, you can like play like a 4-front, right? You can
otherwise, then you have to have the center attacking mid or one of the wingers play more inside. That's why I think a lot of teams have actually tried to, instead of trying to barge through the Honduran three center backs, the goal is they've been most successful at crossing the ball into the box and beating them in the air instead.
I'd like to revisit real quick. Jinsuk, you were saying, why don't we start the three attackers?
Yeah.
How would that look like? If we were looking at a purely passing game, 4-1-4-1, but what about a 4-3-3 in that case? And then the top three attackers would be up there.
The problem with that is, though I'm the one who suggested it, if we do a 4-3-3, we might be screwed because the defensive work of Son Heung-min has been absolutely crucial.
Mm. Yeah.
And not just him, but like Roo Seung-woo has been defending pretty well. Son Heung-min's been the better defender. Ryu and Kwon, not so much.
But Roo Seung-woo has got work rate.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like if we are going to start all three, play Son Heung-min, Hwang Hee-chan out wide in a 4-1-4-1.
Moon Chang-jin, he did not play a single minute. Now, he's got fresh legs. And we know... Okay, so he didn't have a great group stage, but he still got quality. He did set up a couple of the Fiji goals. I still think that he has a role to play, and
not against Honduras.
No, I
feel like he's going to get wrecked against Honduras.
You think so?
Yeah,
I think because
he's too fragile.
Yeah, the problem with players like Yi Chang-min and Moon Chang-jin is that they get swamped so easily, and as soon as they get swamped, they have no confidence and they become invisible or just total black holes where they take a touch and the attack just dies, which for me it's a bit of a head scratcher because then you almost want to play the two most physical midfielders, which would be Park Hyung-woo and Lee Chang-dong. Mm. If we're playing a 4-4-2, then we're really relying on wing play. I think the struggle here, I think the reason why we're struggling here is that Shin Tae-yong was so unpredictable. He keeps his cards really close. I've said it so many times. He keeps his cards close to his chest. He said, I never play 4-2-3-1. Next game, he plays 4-2-3-1. He says stuff like, we're in it to win it. And then as soon as he says that, we play terribly against Mexico in the first half. And people are saying, did we play for a draw? Or are we just, was it just that bad? So it's almost as if you when you see a Shin Tae-yong quote, it doesn't mean anything. It's incredibly ambiguous when it comes to the actual...
He likes mind games.
That's mind games. Just I like that, but it makes
Pinto. Pinto has also done mind games in the past.
Yeah, a bit of a manager duel there as well.
Could we hope for Choi Kubek coming back in for Zennerbrock?
I'd rather not actually. I like Choi Kubek, but I think the Jang Hyun-soo Jung Seung-yeon pairing is not only good. But I feel like in the midfield, I think ideally we would see Park Yong-woo and Lee Chang-dong. I think that's what we want to see.
But it's true that against Mexico, when Lee Chang-dong came on, everyone went, whoo, finally.
Yeah.
And it's not because Lee Chang-dong's a good passer, but it's because we needed to cope. We needed a physical player there.
And he can hold up the ball. That's
exactly.
Yeah.
He can't pass, but neither could Lee Chang-min. So that's one thing that Lee Chang-dong was doing better than Lee Chang-min was that he was playing well. For his skill set, and it just feels like the comprehension between the Park Hyung-woo Lee Chang-dong duo is decent enough to give it a try in the quarterfinal match.
Yes.
Like it's there, it exists. Whereas Park Hyung-woo Lee Chang-min was kind of it didn't really work, and they kind of at times they both looked at each other and went, well, you're supposed to be taking him, and their attack came over the top through the middle, and there's just a gaping hole there.
Yeah. No, how about this? Let me throw something out. Shim Seung-min, you know, one criticism is he's left a lot of space back, you know, and when he loses the ball, boom, They'll exploit that.
Yes.
What if, you know, Honduras is looking for that?
And oh, they will be. I know they will be. They're going to target.
Exact opposite. He does the exact opposite. He stays disciplined. He stays in the knowing what his limitations are. He stays a little further back, but then we're going, you know, attacking on the right with Isil Chan. Yeah. Isil Chan, I think, right. has proven to be way better in terms of bombing it down the wing.
And defending.
Yeah. And I noticed a couple times in the Mexico game, or Germany, I can't remember, where it seemed like the attack was shifting over to Shin Sang-min's side. And the players were like, we're going back to the right. We're going back to the right. if you see this, those stats they have, those graphics they have during the game, where they show like where the attack's coming from, is it from the left, the middle, or the right, you'll see that the red arrows from the right for Korea, it's because that's where they, because Isil Chan pushes up a little bit in his starting position in the attack, more than Shin Sang-min does, which I suspect is Shin Sang-min's way of recognizing that Shin Sang-min is a liability if he gets choked off and he makes a bad pass. But somebody just needs to tell him, don't just play simple. He doesn't need to play the adventurous fullback role that he used to do
Hollywood years ago. Passes.
It's a great description by Tomasz, Hollywood passes.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to do that, especially not in a game like this where we might be on the front foot because the other team wants us to screw up.
Tom, we're again borrowing Tom's terms, but it seems like too much of Korea's attack, the creative hub is the words that Tom used.
Yeah.
It's the fullbacks. It's
I know,
weird.
It's crazy.
why do we not attack through the middle? Like, that's what a normal team does, but no.
This team is swamped in the middle.
I feel like it's not just this U23 team, though. It's like a lot of Korea's play. It always goes to the fullbacks, and it's up to the fullbacks to start something.
And Tamash made a good point, actually. The Japanese fullbacks, actually, they make one quick pass, and they push up into an attacking position right away.
Exactly.
Whereas
right.
Korea, we have this addiction with really slow build-up, and that addiction is doubled by using our fullbacks
the creative passers.
And
it makes no sense.
If our fullbacks were decent, if they were good at that, then it worked great. But Isil Chan's meh at it, and Shin-Sang-min's not capable at it at all. And if anything, it drains his confidence, because you see in defense, he's a shambles sometimes.
This is really why we need a Hwang In-bum, Yi Jae-sung kind of guy. This is,
but yeah,
that would solve the problem.
But Shin Se-young never really seemed to want to do that either. I think this is his style. I think he's comfortable with his style of play. I think he's comfortable with letting the fullbacks be the starting point for the attack, and combine a defensive mid and the winger, and then move forward from there.
And somehow, yet, you know, this team has found a way to not only win, they topped the group, a group that had Mexico and Germany. That still blows me away. They're managing to find. I mean, I hate to use the word magic. I'm reading a book on the Barca Real Madrid rivalry, but this is what they use for the 1994 dream team of Barca, that, you know, despite the fact that they should have lost the league, they managed to magically find ways to secure their fourth title in a row, and that's what I'm looking at here. There's a little bit of skill here. There's a lot of deficit too, as well, a lot of concerns, but yet there's still that magic creativity that they're finding ways to win, score goals, and it's a head scratcher.
Because we have the three greatest attacking starlets in Korean football, right?
Right.
Like this generation of attacking. Son Heung-min, Hwang Hee-chan, easily the best attackers Korean have. This is,
and Yoo Sung-woo having a good tournament too.
And not only that, like, we're also going to have players like Lee Sung-woo and Park Sung-woo and Lee Gang-in in the future. Oh my god, it's a great future. Now I feel you have the defensive prospects, but that's a different podcast, different times.
On that note, let's move on to the score predictions. Does anyone want to go first?
I'll go first. So Shin Tae-young knows that this is a must-win. He's going to go pretty conservative. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game this time. I'm calling probably 1-0.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, the low scoring makes sense. This is a grind-out game. I know Honduras, that's been their style, is grinding out.
Well, that being said, I feel like with all the fatigue that's coming in from playing, what, four games in 12 days, I think a 2-1 is also very likely.
Yeah, and the Hondurans will be very fatigued too. This, like I said,
they've
started 13 players in 3 games, so they'll be very fatigued as well, undoubtedly.
That sounds like, I mean, Korea's been rotating more than they have.
Absolutely, we have, but we had the benefit of playing Fiji as well, who it wasn't strenuous. It wasn't as strenuous as Honduras's 3 games. My score prediction. Yeah, let's go for 2-1 just for a bit of difference here, since you guys both called 1-0. Let's go for 2-1. I think the vulnerability is there. And if we don't get a goal, if Suk doesn't start and we stick to a 4-2-3-1 shape, then Suk will come on near the end. And I think his physical and aerial presence is going to be able to take on what will be then a tired center-back lineup for Honduras. Who, quite frankly, does struggle in the air. It's the one weakness I think Korea can exploit to some success. So let's go for 2-1 goals from Son and Suk Hyun-jun.
There we go.
And so then let's move on to our tavern last calls. I think we've sort of done it, but let's just go for it one last time. If there's anything else you want to talk about or any last words in our traditional tavern last call style.
For my last call, I think I'm just going to hark back to Korea-Mexico. Each of these games has so much on the line. With Korea, you know, just heartbreakingly almost, entirely, you know, winning the group and getting that win against Germany. It didn't happen. I think their backs against the wall. When Korea scored, when Kwon Chang-hoon just made that brilliant move, I was just yelling the top of my lungs. It was
same, yeah.
You know, and I think that excitement is what I'm looking for. It's relief, it's jubilation. This is an exciting team to watch, and this is the best we can hope for, really, with this team that they are able to find ways to win. You know, they've just got to get that. Pechang, that confidence, you know.
Yeah.
Right, for me, this is definitely the most important game of probably of their lives. Could be, very well be the most important game of their lives. So it's a must win, and we're going to win it.
Oh, nice. All right, my last call. What I'm intrigued about is that in these Olympics, apart from the Fiji match, which Korea was definitely going to win. The two other games we played were games where Korea wasn't fancied winners. They were underdogs, and for the first time, it almost feels like as soon as the Honduras draw came out, as soon as we won the game and the Honduras draw came out, you saw NBC saying we're playing a weaker opponent called Honduras, and I got very nervous very quickly, because for the first time now in a crucial game, we're the team who's expected to win by the media, absolutely expect us to win, and on the field, we're going to have more possession because Honduras likes to relinquish possession in order to counter. This is a different kind of game for the team. The opponent may be easier on paper, but we were an easier opponent on paper. We're here. Honduras is here too. Both teams deserve to make it here, and for Korea to treat Honduras like an easy team would be the biggest mistake of their careers, because that is what this is. This is a career-defining match. That being said...
Well said.
That being said, players like Son Heung-min and Suk Hyun-jun and Yoo Seung-woo and Kwon Chang-woon, they've stepped up. They've had great moments, and they can carry this team even in the darkest days. So it's time for the defensive core to do their part again, like center backs did against Mexico. And if they can be solid at the back, not make any stupid mistakes early on, I think that the longer the game progresses, the better we have the chance to win. And if they can win this game and we're through the semifinals, then they have 2 shots at military exemption. At big money in Qatar and China if they want to, or furthering their European careers. It's a huge game. But under pressure, this team has come through. So I'm quietly confident about our chances here as well.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that'll be that. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow TakeAWarriors.com and, of course, our Tavern Twitter handle @Take_Warrior.
Join us for the new forum that's been set
up. That's right. I was just about to mention that a new forum has been set up on the Tavern as well. And also it's a way to provide a decent place, a good platform for discussion about things that don't make it into posts or don't deserve a post on their own. So be sure to check it out. It takes 10 seconds to register, literally. And it's right on the Tavern homepage. So whenever you check into the site, you can go there and comment and read what other posters and other Tavern goers have to say about all things Korean football. So thank you for listening once again. And on behalf of Tavern crew, 잘 가요.
잘 가요.